Chapter 2. Silas's Past Life. Silas hadn't always been alone and sad. Before he came to Ravelo, his life had been very different. Silas had lived in a small religious community called Lantern Yard. In this community, he had lived a contented, active life. The people who lived in Lantern Yard had a very profound belief in God, and religion was very important to them. Their church was at the center of all their activities. The people of the community worked hard and also spent a lot of time at prayer meetings. It was at one of these meetings that Silas had his first fit. But in Lantern Yard, people weren't frightened by the fit. They thought that God had chosen Silas to be a special person, and they didn't look for any more explanation. Silas was respected in Lantern Yard. He was a very honest, model man, a hard-working weaver, and he was always busy with activities connected to the church. Silas had a very close friend in Lantern Yard called William Dane. They had been the best of friends for 9 years, and spent a lot of time together. Silas had recently fallen in love with a woman called Sarah, who was also part of the community. They were making plans to get married as soon as they had saved enough money. The three of them, Silas, Sarah, and William, met often. Silas was happy that the two people he was closest to, William and Sarah, liked each other. But one day, something strange happened. Silas had another fit at a prayer meeting. This time, William was the only member of the community who didn't treat Silas with compassion and understanding. To Silas's surprise, his good friend William told him that the fit could be the work of the devil, and not something religious that came from God. Silas wasn't angry with William, although he couldn't understand the reason for his behavior. Something else was also worrying Silas at this time. Sarah started acting a little strangely, and didn't want to be with him as much as she had been before his fit. Finally, Silas decided to speak to Sarah. "Sarah, don't you want to marry me anymore?" he asked her one day. "Yes, I do," she answered. "We've told the entire community that we're getting married, and that's what we'll do." Soon after this, one of the oldest members of the community became very ill. He had no family, and because he worked for the church members took turns sitting next to his bed. Silas and William decided to be with the old man during the nights. Each night, Silas sat with him until 2 o'clock in the morning, and then William came and replaced him for the next few hours. One night, when Silas was sitting beside the old man's bed, he suddenly realized that the man was rigid. He touched the man's hand. It was cold. "He's dead," Silas thought, "and he's probably been dead for some time." Silas looked at the clock. "It's already 4 o'clock," he said to himself with surprise. "Why isn't William here? He should have been here 2 hours ago." Silas ran quickly to call the minister, who arrived with some of the other men. They stayed with the body, and Silas went to work. "Where is William?" he asked himself repeatedly. 2 hours later, William came to tell Silas to come immediately to a meeting of the church members. "Why? What has happened?" Silas asked him.
"You'll soon find out," William answered unpleasantly.
At the meeting, the minister took a small knife out of his pocket and said to Silas, "We all know that this is your knife. You always carry it with you. Do you remember where you left it?"
"It's my knife, but I don't remember taking it out of my pocket," Silas said. "Well, I'll tell you where we found it," the minister continued. "All the church's money was in a cupboard near the bed of the old man who has just died. The money has disappeared. and we found your knife in the cupboard. You were alone in the room all night because William was feeling ill and couldn't come and take his turn. Why didn't you call us as soon as the man died? It's clear that you took the money." Silas couldn't believe what he was hearing. "I think I must have had another fit, and so I didn't see or hear anything. The real thief must have come during that time," Silas tried to explain. "But please, search my house, and you'll see that I haven't hidden anything and that I'm not a thief." William volunteered to go to Silas's house. Silas and the other men stayed at the meeting and waited. A few minutes later, William came back with a bag in his hand. "Look," he said excitedly, "I found the little bag in which the money was kept. It was behind the cupboard in Silas's bedroom, and it's empty. Silas, you must confess, because now we all know that you took the money." Silas looked at his friend sadly. "William, we've been friends for 9 years now, and you know that I never lie," he said in a trembling voice. "God knows that I'm innocent." Everyone left the meeting, and Silas and William were alone. "Now I remember what happened to my knife," Silas said. "You asked me to cut something for you in your house, and I'm sure that I didn't put my knife back in my pocket. You must have taken it. And you also took the church money while I was in a trance. You, my closest friend, have told lies about me, and I've got no way of proving my innocence." "I don't know what you're talking about," William said, and left the room. Silas walked home, feeling confused and unhappy, and thinking about Sarah. "Will Sarah believe I'm innocent? Will she still want to marry me?" he asked himself. The next day, Sarah sent him a message saying that she didn't want to marry him and that she was going to marry William instead. Now Silas finally understood why William had accused him unjustly. The money was never found, and the members of the community decided to punish Silas in their own way. He was not permitted to go to church anymore until he confessed that he had taken the money. Silas lost all his belief in God and in human beings. He took his few possessions and left Lantern Yard. Silas traveled around the country for some time, not knowing where to go. Finally, he came to the village of Ravelo. This village was very different from his past home, and the people who lived there were very different from the people he'd known. That was the principal reason why he decided to stay there. He wanted to forget his past and the terrible things that had happened to him. Soon, Silas was making a lot of money from his weaving. At first, he kept the gold coins he earned in a pot. Soon, the pot was full, so he made 2 leather bags for the coins. In order to keep the money safe, he made a hiding place for it. He took a few stones from his floor, made a hole under them, put the bags in the hole, and then put the stones on top of them. Every evening, when it got dark, Silas closed all the doors and windows of his house. Then he took his bags of gold out of their hole. "My beautiful gold coins," Silas used to say with a smile. "You are my only friends. You give me a reason to live. I love each one of you." He used to count all the coins several times. Then he put them in piles and spent a long time looking at them and playing with them. Silas's life in Ravelo continued like this for 15 years. But one day, everything changed.